This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. If you're on the solution side of the digital signage business, you've likely at some point had to open up and look over an RFP document from an end user, quietly praying it won't be too onerous or stupid. A lot of digital signage RFPs still, in 2019, lead with technology, going on and on and on about specs and requirements, and only making a passing reference to content, which is nutty because the screens have only nominal value and impact if the content on them isn't timely, relevant, and at least kind of sort of visually interesting. Dan Baker handles the sales engineering for digital signage at AVI Systems, a big Minneapolis area integrator. He's seen those kinds of RFPs and knows through experience there's a better way. He contacted me offering to talk about his take and his company's take on a methodical process that, at minimum, gets end users thinking about objectives and the content needed to meet them. Some companies are mandated to do RFPs. It's just how their procurement departments roll. But in a perfect world, end users are usually better skipping RFPs and working with people who know digital signage. The right advisors can help them get to the content and technology model that will actually deliver on objectives and keep them from spending big on tech they need while largely forgetting what will go on the screens. Dan, thanks for joining me. You sent me an email pitching the idea of talking about what you guys do at AVI Systems when it comes to projects and how you really wish that RFPs were a lot better than they were in a lot of cases. Maybe first thing is, tell me a bit about what AVI Systems is all about, you know, where you're located, how big the company is, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Dave. I quite appreciate it. AVI was formed back in 1974, so we've been in business for over, 45 years now? We're 100% employee-owned company, ESOP, so every person you speak to has a vested interest in the
owner.
Yeah, is an owner and a vested interest in the company, so it's quite nice, actually, working for a company like that. We're based out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota, so right outside of Minneapolis. I think we're above 700 employees now.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so we got quite a bit. They're all W-2 engineers, project managers, salespeople, installers, programmers, graphic designers, everything we need for a full-on implementation.
And how much of the business is digital signage?
You know, from a digital media perspective, we have quite a bit. From digital signage, it kind of varies. Each location has a vested interest in digital signage. There's a lot in our main bread and butter locations, Minneapolis, Chicago, San Diego, Kansas City. So a lot of those areas, we have quite a bit in digital signage. A lot of sales reps are quite familiar with the process. From a digital media perspective, we also work in streaming and asset management, storage networks.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sure. So you'd mentioned that you, as a sales engineer, handles a lot of the technical side of digital signage. You see a fair number of RFPs that drop into your inbox, and a lot of them go straight to specs. Must support this, must do that, must do these things, must be Windows or whatever it is. And you were bemoaning how so few of them seem to have any real thought first around objectives.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I say most of the time, when an RFP comes in with digital signage, it comes across my desk. And the first thing I look for is a content direction. What are the business directives or the use cases behind the RFP request. And oftentimes it's not shared. What we get is a lot of, hey, I would like to have this display, these cables, this mount. We want to make sure that the software is able to perform X, Y, and Z. But they're not really going into the reasons why or what they actually need it to do. Oftentimes, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, why do you think that is?
Oftentimes, I believe that it's because there's not a clear direction or statement of what the content should be. They know they need to have some displays in place. They know they need to have some content on there, but they haven't done the back end discovery of what can signage do for them that general content cannot, and what really is the strategy behind what we're asking of the RFP. And that's kind of where our services can come in and come to play and really help a company understand those directives and take them into a translation into digital signage.
Yeah, it sounded like your company has a more methodical version of what I do with clients. If I end up in an end user discussion, or I'll just sit across the table from them or on the phone and say, okay, guys, why? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have a clear idea of why they even want to do this, but a lot of times they don't, other than, you know, we decided we're going to put some screens up. And it doesn't go a heck of a lot beyond that. So you said that if you can, you like to take them through, I guess what amounts to a process or a methodology that kind of steps them through the thinking about what they want to do and why they want to do it?
Absolutely. That brings me into a good transition into our proven process. So this is a...
Why is it proven?
Because we use this with every single one of our customers. When they work with AVI Systems, we go through this process, whether they know about it or not.
Or they like it or not.
On our end, we go through these processes. So it's different. So
what if they said they don't want to do this? I don't want to go through this process. Let's just go.
Don't get me wrong. If they just want to buy some screens, we're going to buy them. We're going to sell them some screens, right?
Okay.
But we still going to ask the question, why? You know, why do you want these screens? So, our process, the AVI process, our proven process, essentially starts with a development or what I like to say, what can be. Mr. Customer knows that they want to have a timeline video in their lobby. Okay, what does that actually look like, right? Is that a 1x3 video wall? Is it a direct view LED wall? Is that just a simple interactive display? And then on top of that, what type of content are we going to be providing on there? What sort of experience do you want your user to go through in experiencing that display? Because let's be real, the content is what's going to drive success. So the first stage is our pro development. And here, what we really do is try to outline in each different area of the building or content task. Let's say we have a lobby, menu board or something else. In each one of those areas, we look at a few different options for each one for a content summary. Good, better, best. The outcome of that is an initial scope of work, just a simple executive summary as to, hey, what is this good, better, best, or best solution? What are some of the initial requirements? We know we need direct view LED. We know we need a 1x3 video wall. What are some budgetary numbers, timelines, and what's a sample graphic? Really, what that allows them to do is take that to the decision makers and say, hey, you know, this is what we know, and these are, you know, an educated budget based upon our business needs. So right there in the beginning of our pro development, we're understanding what that business need is and connecting those to it.
Do your end user clients, when you start carpet bombing them with all these questions, Do they have ready answers, or is it more the case like I experienced where I hadn't thought about that?
More often than not, it's a training exercise. We have to get them to think about what possibilities are out there and think about how they want the user experience to be. And it's not something that a lot of folks, especially if in an IT world, if you're issuing the RFP, you really get to spend a lot of time thinking about, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
when you say good, better, best for content, how do you define that?
A lot of it is based on the customer's use cases. So as part of that initial phase, we spend quite a bit of time doing discovery, understanding, you know, what those use cases are, showing a couple options, going through different technologies and discussing what we've done for other folks in the past, what solutions have been done out there by other folks. And essentially, we determine together as a partnership what those three content summaries are.
Okay. And so if they just want to go for good, that's going to be, I'm trying to imagine what that would be.
So let's take into consideration, let's just go into back into this timeline wall I just brought up.
Sure.
We'll say that a good is just a simple HD interactive screen, and all they want to do is show a static picture of their timeline. That's it. Not a whole lot to it. In that same scenario, a better solution would be a 1x3 video where the timeline is a video and that just rolls across and it plays through every 5 minutes or so. Small, everything's pop up. When it gets to the new year, you'll have a text popped up or a small video that plays or a picture. The background may change along with it, lots of animation. And our best solution here, let's say we take a DirectView LED video wall. It's very large. We put maybe a touchscreen overlay on it, and the person now can, you know, interact with that touchscreen video wall, and they can pull up all the different timeline locations and videos and text that they need from that perspective. And each one of those has its own timeline to create the content, install, design, etc., and their own numbers that go along with it. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm curious, when you're going through this exercise with these guys, how often they have a grasp of everything that's involved and the cost that's involved that isn't the kind of cost that they were thinking about, which was, as we talked at the outset, the hardware and the software. They may have gone to a trade show and kind of figured that's part of it out, but then when you hit them with the notion that, oh, and by the way, you need to budget $50,000 or whatever the number is for content, whether that stops things in its tracks or they go, okay, understood, go.
Well, let's be real. If we don't go through the content exercise, there are times when you may overpurchase. You may purchase more equipment than needed. When we go through the development stage and then on to the design stage, we're actually able to include a number of efficiencies, not just from a design and hardware standpoint, but also from an installation standpoint. If we know that we are doing not just the digital signage, but also, I don't know, a conference room, we're able to utilize those efficiencies with the same installer versus having two different companies come in and do two different things, keeping one trip versus two. A number of those different components that are actually going to end up costing less in the long run, starting from the development stage all the way down. So I believe that the small cost in doing the development and the design stage really ends up costing the end user less when it really comes down to the overall cost of deploying a system. Did that answer your question?
Yep, absolutely.
Great.
So you've gone through the first phase with them. They have some sense of what can work and where and so on. Then what?
So design stage, this is... The design stage, this is where we really go into the nitty-gritty. So we're going to go into a detailed scope of work. Mr. Customers looked at, let's just take our same timeline solution. Option number two, which is a better solution, a 1x3 video wall with the video that plays through. What they'll get at that point in time is they've chosen that route. We'll go into the detailed project scope of work, discuss the milestones and long-term goals of the project. Going to trade any sort of construction documents that we needed. The customer then receives detailed floor plans, drawings, and renderings from the physical installation, including specific equipment lists, the entire bill of materials. Any sort of system infrastructure requirements needed, operational and post-operational requirements, the total project cost, and then also from a content perspective, you are going to look at getting an interactive hierarchy. You'll have all of your content storyboarded out. So if we look at that timeline video wall again, maybe we have an initial attract loop that plays for 30 seconds, and then we go into the timeline wall, and maybe we want to have our logo fly across the screen. That entire storyboard is then storyboarded out to our client. Mm-hmm. Everyone agrees, everyone's good to go, and then they can then push that out to as their design for an RFP. Mm-hmm. So that way, their business use case is actually listed in the design, and their content, they know that when someone responds back with an RFP, is going to accommodate their business use case. They're not going to get 10 different video wall or 10 of the same video wall with 10 different content options. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So as AVI, you guys are helping them craft the RFP as opposed to responding to it?
Well, as part of our pro design, we then provide them the actual integration numbers to do the work. They can choose to use AVI. Hopefully at that point in time, we've shown our dedication to the client and our partnership with them to go ahead and choose us. But it is ultimately their decision to take it to RFP if they'd like.
Right. But I would imagine a lot of cases, if they've gone down the path with you, unless you've really irritated them in some way, they're going to stick with you, right?
You know, I'm trying to think back the last time that someone actually issued an RFP after going through our pro design process. And I can't think of it off the top of my head, at least one that I was involved with.
Are RFPs useful? I understand big banks, very large companies, Fortune 500s and so on, they have procurement methodologies that require an RFP, and they've got to get three bids and this and that. I find RFPs in a lot of cases are just like a big time-sucking, money-sucking waste of time.
I think in a lot of ways an RFP is designed to, to weed out the major players, and then they can utilize that to leverage the lower prices. So I think in ways it makes sense. A lot of times when it comes to digital signage, I end up seeing the outcome of an RFP being more detrimental to the company than running through a full content design process. I think I've done a good job answering that question from that perspective.
And why is it detrimental? Because they've done scoring that's basing it more on price and specs as opposed to what the outcome needs to be.
Absolutely. I mean, the goal is, hey, here's a content system that we need to do all these different features. Okay, great. A lot of those content management systems will utilize those features, but maybe they're not the most user-friendly. Mm-hmm. You talk about user adoption. If the system isn't functional and the people that are using the system can't understand how to use it or don't retain the information, well, you spent a lot of money, even though it was the lower priced option. The lowest priced option, you spend a lot of money on something that nobody's utilizing, and now you've essentially lost all that investment.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Is there a distinct break between the larger companies, the Fortune 500s, Fortune 100s, whatever, and the SMB market in terms of how they select on this stuff? Like I see the Fortune 5s tending to go with the companies that kind of sell to the enterprise class, and they're not so worried about costs. You know, they pay attention to that, but it doesn't drive them in the same way that the SMBs do, where it's all about pushing costs down. Has that been your experience?
Yeah. Some of the larger and more enterprise folks, we have an enterprise practice at ABI Systems that gets involved. And at that point in time, we are partnering them from a business enterprise level downward. That really allows ABI and our aspect to come in and show a value of repeatable processes and connecting and partnering with a company at that level. So we kind of approach that a little bit differently from our enterprise practice.
Okay. Do you guys sell your own stuff, or are you effectively reselling different display manufacturers and have your sort of arsenal or preferred pack of software platforms that you work with?
Great question. ABI is kind of a mix of the two. We are an integrator at heart, so we do work with a number of resellers of audio video equipment from, you know, many. If it lives, breathes any sort of audio or video, we work with it. ABI does own a couple other companies, Dascom Systems out of Minneapolis and Magenium Solutions out of Chicago. Dascom does provide its own solution to ISPs. Think video streaming platforms. They do quite a bit of that. The Magenium folks out of Chicago are Microsoft partners. And mm-hmm. so we essentially are Microsoft partners. They oftentimes build their own IP, so own software solutions for customers in that regard. So oftentimes we do provide our own software, and sometimes we provide our the vendor's software or hardware solutions. Regardless, there's a certain amount of programming that comes with dynamic digital signage or, you know, Crestron, that type of programming where you need some sort of additional work in that regard.
Right. So when it comes to content management, do you have your own CMS or do you have your preferred partners who you like to work with because you like their platform?
Yeah, so Magenium does have its own CMS platform, and so sometimes sometimes we do work with that solution, but it really depends upon the use case of the customer. If there's a solution or request for content, we oftentimes will utilize a Scala solution, maybe a Navori, Carousel. A couple other ones we work with is Four Winds Physics and a Key West solution. So those are the different content management systems that we utilize. The reasons why we utilize those are based upon their feature sets and what the customers are trying to do.
Right. As a sales engineer, you get into these meetings, these planning sessions, and you start to kind of get a sense of what the objectives look like and what the technology mix needs to be. At that point, are you still staying away from certain things? Like, you know, there are lots of companies out there who have adopted system on chip displays, lots of companies using bright sign boxes and so on and so on. But then you'll talk to other companies who say, no way, no how, I do hardened Linux boxes, that's it. And I only use this particular software platform. I would not go anywhere near Android. I would not go anywhere near Chrome, or I would not go anywhere Windows, you know, whatever it may be. Do you have your go-tos?
So AVI likes to think about this from a support standpoint. We have our own support call center that we work with for digital signage. And so, and being able to see, have a view into what the customer's problem is, either from a server or endpoint standpoint, is pretty key with diagnosing an issue. It also costs less versus sending someone on site to diagnose a hardware issue.
Oh, yeah.
So in that regard, we like to utilize Windows devices simply for the remote access tools that are available. Now, let's be real, some customers don't allow that. But the get around there is, hey, we can do a Skype session. They can RDP into that player and we can still see and diagnose that regard. Mm-hmm. You know, with TeamViewer, Android devices are able to be viewed in that regard. But other than that, from a support standpoint, we like to try to stay Windows. Now, if a customer has a request to go to a system on chip or Linux-based or something of that nature, we'll definitely accommodate their need. It's just that our support contract at that point in time changes.
Right. Is there stuff that's been emerging on the market that excites you or terrifies you?
from a player standpoint?
Or
in general,
player, display, software, really anything.
I'll tell you, the micro LED stuff that we saw at Infocom blew me away. I tried to ask as many questions as I could, and there was a lot of hush, hush, hush around it. But that was really, in my mind, quite incredible.
This was the Sony resolution.
This one's the LG. The Sony wall as well, the crystal LED. Both of those in particular are quite unique. That technology moving forward is just going to be fantastic. Go ahead.
And why is that? Just the ability to have this giant, seamless, beautiful canvas?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at a direct view LED, don't get me wrong, a 0.9 or 0.7 millimeter pixel pitch is great. But if you're able to walk up to something so close and not be able to see the pixels, I mean, there's from 5 feet back, you're going to be blown away. You know, everyone's asking me, what's the wow factor? What can I get as a wow factor for my lobby or for my area? Well, in my mind, the Sony solution, the LG solution, those two in particular are going to be great. Now, the Sony you can get now, which is, again, blows my mind that even that's available to be installed now. But I'm excited for it.
Costs a couple of bucks.
Oh, yeah, it does. But AVI in particular has a great relationship with Sony. So there's some mitigation there.
The thing about wow factor is something I talk about quite a bit. And I always try to emphasize to people that wow factor is very nice, but it's got a very short shelf life in most cases. So even a giant crystal LED screen looks amazing when you first see it and probably several times after. But after a while, if you're not doing something with the content, it's just a big ass screen.
Absolutely. I mean, if we look at the content that you would play at, a lobby, if someone's not actively managing that or changing the content, it's, you walk by it, there's nothing for you to look at anymore. You've seen it the first week.
Mm-hmm. So when you look at an overall project, when you're working with Brand X, who's going to put this in their 10 corporate campuses or whatever it may be, put a signage network in, and they have a number in mind. Let's say it's $1 million for their whole project. That's what they budgeted without really knowing what that would involve. How do you split things out in terms of hardware, software, and content, and maybe just technology versus content in terms of the percentages they should think about budgeting?
We go back to our development process. So that's your budget. But in terms of sectioning that out, we still need to know the use case. Mm-hmm. What of this wow factor do you want to see? And then we can start to break down that budget, because let's just put it this way. If they got $1 million budget and they want to have 3 hours of unique content, that's going to be a different content budget than if they just want, 10 minutes of cycling content.
Right.
Right.
And in most cases, before you get them through this process, I suspect they're thinking 90% technology, 10% content.
I'd say that, oftentimes I don't know that I said this earlier, but we oftentimes have a contact as an RFP as either procurement or IT, and oftentimes we don't get to the communications or the marketing or the creative folks in an organization from an RFP. So oftentimes they are assuming that the content is going to be less expensive than the hardware, and when it really boils down to it, it could be completely the opposite way around.
All right. Last question. If somebody is listening to this, they're an end user, they've somehow or other found their way to this podcast, and they're going to be doing their first signage network, what's that piece of advice you would provide to them?
Look at your end user. Understand what you want them to see and what they are willing to adopt. If you look at that user adoption, that's really going to look into what that is. That's really going to drive a lot of your content business strategy and ultimately the hardware solution. That's what I'd say. Start with your end user first.
All right, Dan, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.